Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpvc.org.
Let's go back to Genesis as we finished chapter 3 last week. Eve was beguiled, Adam had sinned. The punishment of God would be upon Satan forever. The temporal punishment upon Adam and Eve in this world was judged of God. And that's important to know, that the punishment of Adam and Eve is temporal, restricted to this world and to their seed in this world and to God's children. I say that to make the point that a child of God pays for his sins here in this world. Every sin hath a recompense. I tell my brother every day, I'm my greatest enemy. My problems are all the cause of me. I pay for my sins every day. Every sin hath a recompense. But all this is temporal. When we stand in heaven in immortal glory, there will be no more suffering. God drove Adam from the garden, and that was an act of mercy. And we come to the fourth chapter. Let me say, going into this, it is imperative when we read Scripture that we rightly divide the word of truth. I've said this many times, but there are so many types of salvation mentioned in the Bible. You must, as an example, you must understand which salvation is talked about. Is it salvation from yourself, from your sins, from your sorrow, salvation from death, salvation from hell, salvation from the lake of fire, salvation from the ungodly around us? Depends on what salvation is being spoken of in the text. That's why we must take each text and understand the context that we may know what's being spoken of. Now, chapter 4 begins with Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived. I don't have to explain that. And bare Cain. This is the firstborn son of Adam. In nature, even today, the firstborn son has blessings according to nature and tradition of man that are not afforded to the menfolk brethren who would come after him. This context, as God talks to Cain, is about just that. It's not about heaven and immortal glory. The Bible teaches us, rightly dividing the word of truth, that Christ came into the world to save those the Father gave him. Of all those the Father gave him, he would lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That he came into the world to save his people from their sins. He finished that work upon the cross of Calvary. Therefore, there is absolutely nothing, hear that, nothing that can take eternal life from a child of God. Your sin can't do it. My sin can't do it. The devil, the angels that sinned and rebelled against God cannot do it. There's not a shyster lawyer in Birmingham that can do it. There is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone the Father gave to the Son will have eternal life. So let us rightly divide the word of truth as we go through this text, and understand that heaven and immortal glory is not what the text, when God speaks to Cain, is referencing. It's referencing his birthright as the older of the sons of Adam and the blessing bestowed upon the firstborn son. We see another example of that with Jacob, have I loved, yet Esau have I hated. Yet Esau was the firstborn. Jacob was a snake in the grass. He was a thief, a deceiver, a supplanter. He took his brother by the heel in his mother's womb to trip him up. He robbed his brother of his birthright. That birthright was the birthright which came from his father, and that was the birthright to the firstborn son, the blessing to the firstborn son, according to tradition and the way of nature. Now, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. They are doing just exactly what God told them to do, in spite of them rebelling against God. That fact and the purpose of God did not change. It did not falter. It did not in any way differ from what God commanded, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That was still there. They are keeping what God told them to do. This is very probably sometime not far from Eden. Yeah, Adam knew his wife, and she may have even been in Eden. But he knew his wife. The Bible does not give us a calendar on this. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. This part, Cain, is after Eden and after the fall. I can reference that as truth because you're going to see that Cain was a reprobate man in the natural flesh with no fear of God in his eyes. And that all came when Adam fell. So Adam, they've already been evicted from the garden, and Adam has already rebelled against God because Cain is a sinner. She conceived, bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. That's what the word Cain means. I have acquired a son from the Lord. Many people reference this to the text in Genesis 3 and 15. Perhaps Eve thought this was the seed who would conquer the serpent. I do not know. The Bible does not give any knowledge to me if she did or did not, so I'm not going there. I'm going right here. I have gotten a man from the Lord, and that man was her firstborn son, and all the blessings that go with that. And he did come from the Lord in the tithe of procreation. Now, she again bare his brother Abel. This is the second born son. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. He was a shepherd. He would feed the sheep. He would do all that was required in the keeping of sheep. I've had one lamb in my entire life. When I was a child, I fed it. I never did have the knowledge of how to or the need to shear it for wool or any of the things that are entailed in the keeping of sheep as a shepherd. But Abel did, because he was a keeper of sheep. That was his job from his daddy. People in that day were there, and I say from his daddy because his daddy would teach him the things to do. People in that day worked for a living on the land. They didn't have jobs. They didn't go out and do the things we do today and try to build a retirement and all these such things. They worked daily. They had to have food. They had some substance. They had to have clothing. And all these things were provided of the Lord, and they worked for them. They worked to have them. Abel was the keeper of the sheep. Now, we could talk about that in types and shadows and show a type of Christ, who is the good shepherd, who said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me, I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. But this is speaking of Abel in the context. Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain, the firstborn, was a tiller of the ground. I had the blessing in my life of growing up when I did in the 60s and 70s. And although a troublesome time it was, we lived out. We planted gardens. We worked the ground with our hands. We had tillers. We had mechanized things to help us. But I say that to make this point. As you put a seed, as you break the ground, you till the ground, as God told Adam, because now it's not going to bring forth like it did because of your sin. You're going to have to work it with the sweat of your face. But you break the ground up. You plant the seed. You pray over it. You put a little fertilizer on it. They would dung it with manure. That's what they had in that day. That's the best to use, believe me. But with that said, and staying with the text, Cain worked with his hands tilling the ground after God cursed the earth. And he had a hard job. I have worked the ground, I have worked the ground, I have worked the ground. I enjoy working the ground. I have kept horses, I have kept cattle, I have kept fowl, I have kept one sheep, and I have kept goats, several goats. It is an enjoyable thing to keep livestock. You work with them, You train them. Some of them you ride. Some of them you plow with. It is a hard job, but it is a pleasurable job. Going back to tilling the ground, and I'm giving you all this, to dispute and destroy the doctrine of the good works of man. The Holy Spirit said in Isaiah, our good works are as filthy rags before God. They are nothing. They are as filthy rags. That refers to a woman's time of the month. Filthy, bloody rags. That's how our good works are before God. We cannot come to God. We cannot earn our way to God. Our works of righteousness dare not appear before the throne of God. The works that God accepts, as you're going to see with Abel and his sacrifice, or those that comes through faith. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. You must be born of God to have faith. Abel was born of God, or he would not have had faith. That's why God would accept his work. Because it's a whole lot harder, at least it is to me, to plant the ground and nourish the ground and work the ground than it is to keep sheep. And I find really and truly nothing at all enjoyable about planting the ground other than seeing the seed come forth and then harvesting it. Working with livestock, to me at least, was every minute enjoyable. It's not near the hard work of planting the ground. Now that would be plain to anybody, and anybody that cannot see God in nature ought to be able to understand, or can see God in nature, ought to be able to understand that our works, according to this text, get us absolutely nowhere. The natural man gets us absolutely nowhere. Cain did not love God. We'll prove that in a moment. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Well, good old Cain, he was a child of God, some say. He was coming to worship the Lord. Let me tell you something. Prove it by Bible. Prove it with this text. Cain was not a child of God. Very few references do we have of people where we know they're not a child of God. I cannot judge one by himself, by his soul. I can't see that. You can judge one by their works, but like the thief on the cross, at the point of death, God can quicken him and give him life. May have thought he was a devil himself, but God gave him life that very day, went with Christ in paradise. We don't know these things. Only God sees them. But we know Esau, God hated. That tells me he was not a child of God. Well, God just hated Esau's sin. Does that mean God loved Jacob's sin? God forbid. And now we see Cain, 1 John chapter 3, and I'll just stay plain to the text. In 12, it's talking about loving each other, loving each other. Cain did not love God. Cain did not love his brother Abel. Verse 11, this is the message, 1 John chapter 3. That ye heard from the beginning, when was the beginning of time, that we should love one another, not as Cain. This is cut, dried, plain and simple. Who was of that wicked one and slew his brother? Cain was a seed of the devil. What does that mean? That does not mean Cain was the devil's in pre-existence of time and in heaven and immortal glory. There was not a seed of Satan and a seed of God. There was only God. And nothing existed in eternity but God. He's a seed of Satan because the seed of the devil, Satan planted a seed of sin in Adam, and Adam transgressed and rebelled and fell, and that seed remained in Cain. He is of his father, the devil. You are the seed of Christ. I don't have to go back and talk about the election of grace. You know that. Very simply, you're a seed of Christ, but God has implanted his seed within you, and that is Christ, the hope of glory. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore he slew he him? Because his own works, Cain's, were evil, and his brother's righteous. Talking about those 10 people killed I haven't heard about yet in the Middle Eastern country. Why were they killed? Because their works are righteous. Because they're children of God. because they belong to God, because God loved them and they've given to Christ and Christ died for them. And you better know this for certainty, for surety, that body will be raised up on the last day. It shall be reunited with their spirit and their soul, and they shall forever be with Christ in glory, and they shall see him as he is. But the point of Cain, Cain is of the wicked one, the devil. He is not a child of God. The Bible teaches that. And in process of time, that doesn't mean tomorrow or the Sabbath day. This Bible is giving reference of when these two men were born. These men are not young. These men are not teenagers. These are grown men, very probably already married to some of their sisters, because that was the only people in the world. And they probably already had children. You want to get an idea of how long this took? Go to chapter 5, look at verse 3. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Seth is born pretty soon after Abel is killed. How old was Adam when Seth was born? 130 years old. Most people lay the fact to mind that Abel was close to 100 years when this event took place. And Cain is older than Abel. How much we don't know, but he's even older than Abel because he's the firstborn son. And in process of time, there's your process, there's your time. People lay Christmas to December. I love Christmas. I love the family, the fellowship. You want to get down to bare facts? The Lord was born in the Feast of Harvest. In that month, it relates to our time as being September and October. We celebrate it in December. I have no problem with that. I'm just giving you a spiritual fact. Some people say that this may have been in the time of harvest because Cain is bringing the offering of his ground. He's harvested it. And Abel's bringing the offering from his sheep being harvested. That points to the same time the Lord was born into the world, because it was the Feast of Harvest. That's why Jerusalem was full of people. That's why Christ was born in a barn in a manger, because the inns were full of farmers and shepherds who were there to sell their produce, their livestock, their harvest of their crops. And that would make sense. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. I have worked with my hands. I have planted, I have worked, the Lord granted rain, I have brought what I have been able to acquire by God's grace from the ground. That is the thinking of a child of God who knows God. That is not the thinking of the natural man. The thinking of the natural man is, I have done this, I planted, I watered, I made it grow, I harvested it. Quite contrary to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, said one planted, one watered, and God gave the increase. The natural man does not know the things of God, neither does he want to know the things of God. But in process of time, it came to pass, it came, brought the fruit of the ground, and offering unto the Lord the hard work of his hands. If it were of works, Cain would have been accepted. It is not of works. Again, our works dare not appear before the throne of the holy, almighty God. We are sin. We do good works here in order to fellowship with God out of gratitude, giving all glory and honor unto him. But our work dare not appear before the throne of God. And in process of time, it came to pass, it came, brought of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, the secondborn, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. That means the firstborn. Let me take time. I'm not in a hurry. Numbers 18, we will find written, and I'll have to find a verse. Numbers 18, Verse 17. But the firstling, the firstborn of a cow, that's the firstborn. That's important to God. It is the best you have in thinking. It is the best God had, because God gave His firstborn and His only begotten Son as a sacrifice for us. All these point to Christ and the very fact that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice to Christ. But the firstling of a cow and the firstling of a sheep or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem, they are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle, God had set them aside to be offered unto Him. That's what holy means, separated. This was separated to sacrifice to God. This is under the law. The law was not yet given, but it does not change the fact of who God is and the purpose of God. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar and shall burn their fat for an offering made by fire. So Abel is bringing the firstling of his flock. He didn't pick a sickly one. He didn't pick a blind one or a lame one. When God told them in Exodus that they were to gather the lamb and slay it and prepare it exactly the way God told them to prepare it, it had to be without blemish and without spot. God has blessed Abel. Abel is to bring the greatest, the best that he has to offer to the Lord. Speculation is made that Cain brought of the second, not the first of his, which is taken from the ground. I say this to that. It does not matter. It does not matter in the sense of this text. It does not matter what Cain would have brought or what Abel might have brought, because it is not of our works. It is of the election of grace, the providence of God. Hebrews 11:4, let me go there, and we find written therein, I've got that marked with a ribbon, 11:4, by faith. The text is about people living by faith. The entire book, a gift of God. Give that glory to God. Don't claim it for yourself. It's God's. He gave you faith. He gave you life. Galatians 5:22 teaches us that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. That tells us that unless you are born of God, you cannot have faith. It is impossible because you do not know God until you're born of the Spirit of God. Back to the text. By faith, Abel offered unto God the Father a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why was it better? I tell you why it was better. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts given to Abel, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel's sacrifice was offered by faith, a fruit of the Spirit. God accepted it because it was of faith. God touched him. God gave him life. God revealed himself to him. God gave him faith. Therefore, his offering made by the Spirit of God within him, desiring to love God and please God and draw nigh unto God and be ye thankful unto God, was accepted not because it took a life, not just because it took blood, not just because it was a type and shadow of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, but because it was done in faith. Read the next part. By which he obtained witness, it manifested, it bore witness to the fact that Abel was righteous, that the Spirit of God was within him, that God had separated him from his brother Abel, that God had separated him from the non-elect, that God had separated him from the wicked because he had life, and the power of God was manifested in him. And that makes his sacrifice acceptable in the eye of God, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. We'll get to that in a little bit maybe. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. The fat that pertains to an animal who has been kept up and fattened. Daddy's told this story to me many times, and I remember seeing it happen. My grandfather, Winslet, would catch possums and raccoons. He'd bring them home. He'd put them in a big cage. He'd feed them corn for a couple of weeks. Said it cleaned them out. But the main thing is he got them fat. And then he'd kill them and eat them. You raise pigs. You raise cattle. You feed them. You get fat. The fat represents the goodness in the animal. Everything that's worth having, the great nutrient, the precious taste, the sweet smell, the savor of the things that are to be offered to God. And the Lord had respect unto Abel. Catch what went first? Unto Abel. Not to his offering only, to Abel. God respected Abel. Why did God respect Abel? Because he gave Abel to the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in a covenant, again, Ephesians 1, before the foundation of the world. He is a child of God, chosen in the election of grace. Before God ever created the heaven and the earth, God did not decide that. The day before He created the heaven and the earth, He said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. God is eternal with no beginning and no end. There was never a time that God did not love His people. He has always loved His people. The natural mind cannot comprehend that. The fleshly mind, the mind of us in this mortal body, could not comprehend that. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, He had not respect. He had no respect to Cain. Cain was left in the nature of Adam. He was of his father the devil, that wicked one, a murderer, we're fixing to see the first recorded murder, and a liar from the beginning, 1 John 3. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Cain was lividly angry. At Abel? Maybe. But the text refers to him being angry to God. He's angry against God because he's the eldest brother. By the ties of nature, the blessing belongs to him. He's the next in line to the lordship or the kingship, temporally speaking, of the family, of the tribe. Maybe of the city, because cities at that time were composed of families and tribes. Churches today are composed of families and tribes. God gave the promised land to tribes of Israel. Gave them their inheritance according to their tribe. Cain's wroth and he's angry at God. God asked him, why are you angry? Why are you angry at me? Why is thy countenance fell? 15 and 13 of the book of Proverbs. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. What is your countenance? Your countenance is your outlook. How you look up. How you look at God. The text is speaking of that. Why is that countenance fallen? Why is the way you look at me fallen? Why do you not regard me anymore? You want to see somebody's countenance? Watch me when I watch the news in the morning on about 2 cups of coffee. When they keep showing all these devils killing children and all the things they do. My face gnarls up. My countenance falls. I get angry. Cain is angry. He's not angry at himself, for he has no repentance. He's not angry at his brother Abel alone. He is angry at God. God says, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? You see that today. People blame God for sin. People blame God for disease and sickness, for their problems in life. Every problem I have comes from me, myself, I. Our sin came from Adam, not God. God made things good, made everything good and upright. By one man, sin entered the world and death by sin. That was Adam, not God, but by one man. I'm the God of heaven. I'm the God that created, the Lord is saying, Cain. I created you. I made all things good and upright. Why has your countenance to me fallen? And by the way, let me put this in there because I forgot to. Why is Cain worshiping God anyway? Because he was taught to by his parents. There is a reason that the Lord told Israel through Moses, teach, thou shalt diligently teach these things to thy sons and thy sons' sons, the things of God contained in the law of Moses, that they would know how to worship God. There were people in the Mosaic service that when Christ was born that were not God's people. Ye hear not my voice because ye are not of my sheep. John 10, talking to Jewish religious leaders. They were taught to worship God. It is the duty of all men, elect or non-elect, to honor God, to obey God. But we're all sinners. I am the God of gods. Why are you wroth against me? Why has your outlook, your countenance against me fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Again, this is not talking about working his way to heaven and immortal glory. There is absolutely no man from Adam, the man God created, who fell on to the end of time, who can work his way to heaven, make a decision as a natural man dead in sin to be alive, to accept Christ, to believe Christ, or to come to God. It is impossible. Life must precede action, and we are dead in sin by nature. Therefore, God must give life. Why did I tell you that? Because he's going to ask Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain's not mad because he's not going to heaven. At this point, he does not care about it. He's a natural man, and he hates the things of God. Cain is angry because his blessing as the firstborn in the eyes of the Almighty God has been rejected because God respected the man and the offering, the younger son, Abel. Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, temporally speaking, shalt thou not be accepted of who? His father, his family. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. If you don't do well, sin's in your heart. Sin begets sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. If you don't do well, sin's in the door of your heart already. And unto thee shall be his desire. Your brother, being the younger brother, shall have a desire to serve you because by the ties of nature, you're the firstborn son. And thou, temporally speaking, as the older son, shall rule over him. Take the context as it is written, and we will not be deceived by Satan into believing some of the winds of doctrine. Well, Cain could have worked to heaven. The Lord told him, if you do good, man cannot do good. Even being born of the Spirit, we still live in a body of flesh. We are still sinners. We cannot be sinless as long as we live in this body. We cannot make a decision. We cannot work our way to Christ or to heaven. It is all in the grace of God. This is speaking of the blessings of the firstborn son in this world. God told him, if you do right, you do well, you'll have the blessing of the firstborn son. He's all this conversation's been with God, and he's wroth with God, and his countenance of God has fallen. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Lots of speculation about that. Bible does not speculate. It does not say. And I'm going to leave that right where God put it, because I'm not worthy to move it. Cain talked with his brother. He was angry. He wants the firstborn rights. He thinks Abel's going to have them because God had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And when they were in the field, may have been hunting, may have been walking, may have been working, doesn't matter, because the Bible does not tell us. Cain rose up against Abel. That's what's important. His brother, and slew him. He killed him. Another text. There's your paragraph marker. Verse 9. After this, the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? Just as God spoke unto Adam, who told thee thou wast naked, God did not ask to find out, for God knew, and God knew before the world ever was what would happen. He's making this point to Cain, to convict Cain. But Cain has no convicting. Cain has no conscience. Read this. Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. That's a lie. This man has no sorrow. This man has no repentance. He's lying to the Almighty God of heaven. Where is Abel, thy brother? I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? That is exactly, scripturally, what we are to be, is our brother's keeper. That'll be another time and another day. But you understand, we're to look out after our brother. We're to pray for our brother, sisters included. We're talking about mankind, those in the church. We're to care for each other, love each other, pray for each other, love, and support each other in any way which is required. And he said, God, what hast thou done? Now at this time I would have been praying, God, kill me. I would be so ashamed and so afraid, just my thinking. What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. He knew that he had killed him. Hebrews 12. What does it mean, the blood of his brother cried from the ground? The blood of thy brother crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Hebrews chapter 12. We find the Apostle Paul speaking, the church of God, Mount Zion it's called. He begins somewhere in here talking about you have come unto Mount Zion. And he goes on down, tells us where we're at. I'll start in verse 20. I'll start in 22. That's where it says, but you're coming to Mount Zion. That's the church. And unto the city of the living God, New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, which came down to us in the Spirit of God, and to an innumerable company of angels. Angels are messengers. I'm sure there are angels among us that we do not see, because the Bible testifies about that. And we also have angels which are messengers of God, men whom God sends to preach the gospel to His children, to comfort them and glorify His Son, Jesus Christ. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, if you've got any doubt, Christ is the firstborn, it's His church, which are written in heaven, your names are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Didn't say they were made justified because they were perfect. It said they're just men because God chose them, gave them the Son. The Son died for them. They're just men in His blood, and they're made perfect by the Spirit, leading them in how to walk. And to Jesus, the mediator, only one, of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, the blood of the Lamb, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood, the earth cried out, the blood of Abel, screaming for vengeance. Every day I pray myself, forgive me, but I am a hard man. I policed a long time. I have a hard heart. Lord, wilt thou avenge thy people? It's no different. Revelation 6, speaking of those in the first century church. Verse 9, the fifth seal, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, martyrs like those 10 killed in the Middle East. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? We look for vengeance. The blood of Abel cries out for vengeance. But we have a blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Not vengeance for God's children, but the redemption of God's children. And the blood of the Lamb who's washed them clean and made them holy and without blame before God the Father in love." He killed him. God said, "His blood cries to me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength." God's already put a curse upon the ground. Man's got to work hard for what he gets. But part of the temporal, because eternal punishment is the lake of fire, so part of the temporal punishment on Cain is he's going to have to work even harder to get anything out of the ground. "A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." You're going to wander. Men are going to hate you. Men are going to seek to kill you. You're a fugitive, a vagabond. You know, a child of God at this point would be crying unto God, "Have mercy on me, one born of the Spirit." Just like the thief on the cross, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." 5 minutes ago, I was cursing this man. Now I'm begging this man for mercy, for forgiveness. Cain's not asking for forgiveness. Cain's not sorry he killed Abel. Cain's not sorry he hated God and was wroth with God. Cain doesn't say anything about repentance. Cain's all about Cain. The natural man can love nothing but himself. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Me, me, me. Total narcissism. "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth." That just means that he was driven out from the land where his father had settled when he was driven out of Eden. He will no longer be with his family in that place. "And from thy face, God's blessing there in that land where Adam is settled, shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." That means God will punish those that kill Cain down to the children of the seventh generation. Sevenfold. What did he say in Exodus 20? He'd visit the seed, the children of those that hate him, to the children of the third and fourth generation. Those that kill Cain to the seventh. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. I've tried to find that mark for many years. Got an age spot come up on my shoulder. I looked at Linda the other day. I said, "What is this?" She said, "The age spot." First time I've seen it. Some people say that mark was a spot on his body. Some say it was a horn on his forehead. All sorts of things. God set a mark upon Cain. Now, what I believe is the mark that God set upon Cain, and we'll get more into this when we get into Genesis 6, is what you find in Romans chapter 1. Those that did not like to retain the knowledge of God in their mind, even though the glory of God and the power of God was manifest in creation, we are just out of creation 130 years. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Get more into that in Genesis 6. But I do believe that is the mark that God put upon Cain. You can look at the reprobate and you don't want to be around them. You can look at the reprobate and you try to flee from them. I don't want to be around that darkness. I'm bad enough of mine own self. Let me get away from that. A fugitive, a vagabond. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt. Now, he didn't get out of the presence of the Lord in the sense of not being around God, because God is everywhere, omnipresent. He went out from the blessing of God in the land of his father and dwelt in the land of Nod. It does not matter where that is or what country that was. The word means wandering. He would not have a place again where he would live with his people under the blessing of God as he did in the land where Adam was. He would be wanderers, fugitives, vagabonds, no place to plant roots on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived. Give me time to get through this quickly and finish this chapter. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. This is not the Enoch which pleased God and walked with God, and God took him. This is not the Enoch, that same Enoch. He was born of Jared. This man is born of Cain. And he builded a city and called the name of that city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad begat Mehujael. And Mehujael begat Methusael. And Methusael begat Lamech. Sons of Cain, progressing in time, as God had commanded, that they should go forth and be fruitful and multiply. And Lamech took unto him two wives. Here's your rebellion against God. Remember where Jesus told the Pharisees who traded wives like a deck of cards? He said, this was not so from the beginning. Moses gave you the writing of divorcement because of the hardness of your hearts. But it was not so from the beginning. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and the twain shall be one flesh. One flesh, one man, one woman, one unit of family. Here we see Lamech having two wives, polygamy, rebellion against God. I'm not going to tell you every descendant of Cain by blood was not a child of God, because Revelation 5 plainly teaches us that out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue, God has a people, period. And you remember that when we get to Genesis 10, but I'll bring it up again, I'm sure. But it's teaching us of the natural man rebelling against God, and that plainly is teaching us a son of Cain, whom God hated, who was of his father the devil, has rebelled against God. He's taken two wives. Polygamy. Doesn't mean a child of God can't do that. Just manifesting the point is we're just as bad as they are. If it wasn't, the love of Christ constraineth us. Let's leave it there. The love of Christ constraineth us. And Adah bears Abel. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and such as have cattle. Why do they dwell in tents? Because they're the son of a wanderer, a vagabond in the earth. Abraham dwelt in tents. God sent him from Haran to Canaan. He's traveling. He had to dwell in tents. There's nothing wrong with dwelling in a tent. And he had cattle. There's nothing wrong with having cattle. God blessed him. But these people spent their lifetime from the generation of Cain wandering, vagabonds, punishment for Cain's murder of Abel. And his brother's name was Jubal, the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ, musical instruments. Jubal pertains to the blowing of a ram's horn, the name. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. He's not making plows. He's making swords. He's making knives. The Jews' religion and history regards him as something somewhat of a general, a military leader. Why did they need a general, a military leader? I thought everything was good. Wrong. Adam has rebelled. Sin and death has entered the world, the death of sin. Men are fighting. Men are killing. Men are rebelling against God. They take two, three, four wives. Men have already strayed in this short time after God created the world good and upright. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. He sharpened swords. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, plural, Adah and Zillah, listen to his bragging. Listen to the mind of a natural man. Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. Don't listen to what the Lord said. You hear me. You listen to me, me, me. For I have slain a man to my wounding, just like Cain. And a young man to my hurt, just like Cain. I did it. Cain was cursed of it. This is because of my wound. This made my wound. This made me hurt. But listen to his bragging. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. I'm better than Cain. I'm better than my fathers. I'm better than those before me. Let me tell you something. My daddy's a better man than me, and his daddy was a better man than him, and that goes on down the line, all the way to Adam, whom God made good and upright. Because the best man and the only good man was Adam before sin entered the world by that man. And since that time, we grow farther, manifested more and more in sin and death. And Adam knew his wife again. I got time to close this. And she bare a son. Because God is a God of purpose. What God says is yea and amen. God cannot lie. God says and it is. And that is all in the living word, Jesus Christ. Adam knew his wife again. Abel's dead. That's the seed. Eve had thought would be, I believe, or through whom the deliverer should come, the Messiah, as God had promised. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. The name Seth means appointed. Seth was appointed of God to be the son of Eve. The name Abel meant mist, and it pertains to, or a vapor, and it pertains to sorrow. His Abel's life was a vapor, here a moment, and taken away, and great sorrow. That's why I believe Eve knew Abel. She named him Abel. I believe she knew that through him, that line that God promised in Genesis 3:15 would be. Look at Luke 3, the last verse. The son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God, in the lineage, physical lineage of Jesus Christ. And to Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son and called his name Seth, appointed. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed, child, son, instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Now I hope that you can see through this why God's children suffer such persecution. Why they're killed and hated of the religions of man, of Islam, and all the teachings of Satan. Why they seek to kill you because they hate God the Father. They hate God the Son. They hate God the Holy Spirit. They hate the Godhead, and therefore they hate you. They blame God for their condition, for everything they have, for everything they will be, and everything that shall befall them. And they hate Him, and they hate you, and they make themselves better than God. Romans chapter 1. Worshiping the creature more than the Creator. God gave her appointed and gave her another seed. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and they called his name Enos, N-E-N-O-S, E-N-O-S. That means, the meaning of that word properly is humanity. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Then, why then? Because sin had entered the world. We no longer walked with God in the way that Adam did, where we saw Him and heard Him. Adam fell. He transgressed. Sin and death entered the world. There was a murder. There is a death. Men are growing farther and farther and farther away from God, rebelling more and more and more against God. We're going to come up to Genesis 6 shortly, and we're going to see the flood and God destroying all those of the wickedness of that day. They began to call upon the name of the Lord, from where our help cometh, our Maker, our Redeemer, our God, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our Master. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord.